You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH.
No. It's recording now. I'm incredibly bad. Like, I have it open, and then I don't check immediately. I just have it open, I'm like, oh yeah, it should do its thing.
I mean, you would assume that these things work, but apparently not.
Well, the last few times it has.
Yeah. That's what it is. We got too comfortable.
Yeah.
It lulled us into a false sense of security, and then it struck.
Yeah. Fuck. Alright, well, we'll just start cold. I lost half an episode, guys. It was really good. It was premium content, so you're just going to have to do
it. It's quality. It's top notch.
It really was. I was happy with that.
Yeah.
We talked about how it's Kit's birthday today and how, you know,
I'm old now.
Yeah, he's 30 and he's staying at home because...
I'm dying.
Yeah, he's just dying and having a beer with his friends. And I tried to tell him that that's what happens when you're 30 now. You don't go out anymore, like... That's
what happened when I was like 27, so it's
that's par for the course now.
Yeah I was adjusting, I was preparing myself for the 30-year-old life.
He should be ready for the he shouldn't be too disappointed if he hasn't had three divorces. And you know, those memes that are like, by 30 you should have had you should have a house. No, it's like, by 21 you should have
earned. Could have easily earned like $5 million by now.
Yeah, by 21 you should have a house, a partner, a nest egg, and then it's like, by 30 you should have had three divorces, a child custody battle, you should owe at least one family member $10,000. Just be prepared for that.
None of that. I just got a Tremors tattoo.
Is that what the wormy tattoo was?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Tremors.
Yeah, I don't know shit about horror, so it's lost on me.
The Kevin Bacon classic.
Oh, I fucking hate Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coming out strong against Kevin Bacon.
I hate him. I really hate him. And it doesn't help that...
Everyone loves bacon.
No. My wife started saying, like, when our son is, like, pretending to cry and be upset with something, she says, faking Kevin Bacon to him, and it stops him. So, stop faking Kevin Bacon, and that's, like, that irritates me more. So, Kevin Bacon's, like...
It's the bane of your existence.
Pretty much, yeah.
On every conceivable level.
Yeah.
He's invaded your family.
I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
Pretty sure this was the plot of a Kevin Bacon movie.
What else did we talk about in the Lost episode? I'm trying to remember. Like, we had a pretty good start.
I'm 30. I don't know. I forget things now.
We talked about how
my memory is down to shit.
You went to a Def Heaven and Baroness concert. Yeah,
talking about how good those bands are, how great they are, metal.
We talked about how no one seems to be thinking of poor John Baisley and the fact that he might be colorblind. They're just criticized for calling it orange, or for not calling it orange, for calling it golden gray.
But you can't call it orange, because you call it orange, you're going to start a string of fruit-themed albums.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do apple.
Yeah, and the lemon and lime double album. What else do we have? Apples, blueberries.
Golden gray are cooler colors than orange also, all right?
They are.
I like orange, but orange can suck.
Does that mean it's going to be a double album?
It looks like it. There's like 17 or 18 tracks based on the track listing.
Yeah. So it's been a fair while for them, so it wouldn't surprise me. You said they played one new track?
Yeah. Borderlines.
Borderlines, okay. And we talked about Def Heaven taking courage. Takes courage to separate art from the artist, and if you're one of those losers who's been whinging about Def Heaven for the last, 4 years, that you probably...
It's only been 4 years? It feels like my entire life.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, oh, I like this Def Heaven thing, and then everyone's out like, whoa, actually, Def Heaven's terrible. I hate George Clark's gloves and his haircut.
See, this is another thing where I'm like, I can't wade into the debate, and I don't want to, because I've never sat through a full album of theirs, and I don't want to be like, I don't want to wade into the controversy at this stage in my life. I don't have time for that. Like, I could like them, I might not like them, but I don't care enough now, and everyone's ruined it for me. But I did listen.
How could you ruin Def Heaven for Pat?
I did listen to the new track, and it was pretty cool. Like, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
You should check out New Bermuda.
Yeah, you reckon it's, that's the one?
It's got. It's my personal favorite because it goes more to the extremes on either end. So okay. The metal parts are real thrash metal, and then the pretty shoegazy parts lean way into the like mellow shoegaze. So
I checked out the pre-release track from that. I remember Joe put up a post about it when that came out, however many years ago that was on the blog, and yeah, I was like, oh, this is all right, and then I never went further. Probably should have.
It's good. It's a brisk 45 minutes, which is always nice.
Yep.
I'm that asshole who gets upset when things are 50 minutes to an hour.
Well, I should be okay with that. Yeah, like even if it's chill for 20 of those minutes, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys that's going to have to grapple with himself for, you know, 4 years of criticizing them to separate art from the artist and, you know, actually enjoy their music now.
You're not going to have to begrudgingly buy a pair of Ray-Bans.
Yeah, I really can't afford that. I only worked out the other year that I can buy nice sunglasses and then claim them as a work expense because I work outdoors and I need like sunglass like protection. So I just say that like
it takes money is what it takes.
Pretty much,
it takes cash.
It takes a paycheck.
It takes disposable income.
Pretty much a whole paycheck's worth. Yeah. Something that doesn't take a whole paycheck is underground death metal EPs on Bandcamp, which is basically our bread and butter on this podcast.
Damn right.
And we've got a couple of good ones today. We've actually got a double shot from Maggot Stomp at the end here, from Kit's favorite label.
Y'all aren't ready. I've been stomping maggots all week.
Every fucking week there's a new Maggot Stomp like EP from a band I've never heard of, and it kills.
Yeah, it's also good. I don't understand.
Yeah, where are they getting these bands from that no other label's like in touch with them?
I don't have any idea.
They're hanging out behind the bin at the local takeaway shop just picking up all these disgusting death metal bands.
They're all robots. They're just pre-programmed like some album. Like, hey, this sounds pretty dope. Throw it out there.
The first one we've got, though, isn't. This one actually isn't on Maggot Stomp, but who knows? By next week it could be, because it's not actually out yet. It comes out on April 5th, so they've still got time to pick them up.
On Fungus Stomp.
This is one that Kit sent to me last week, and I immediately stopped what I was doing and immediately clicked it, because it was called Blood Spore, and the album was called Fungal Warfare Upon All or something, wasn't it? Let me just double check.
I don't know if that got lost with the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we just anything that happens shittily in this episode, imagine we did it better before and just didn't record it.
So we did. I swear to you, we did.
Yeah, we actually did.
We're trying to do greatest hits right now.
And it sucks. The album's called Fungal Warfare Upon All Life. The track's called Hostile Fruiting Bodies, so these dudes definitely stayed in mycology class. They know their spores. And funnily enough, it does remind us a bit of Tomb Mold, we were saying before. Bit dirtier, a bit darker.
You know, I appreciate any band that can mix like some healthy doses of science in with sick ass riffs.
And not like, not eugenics, not bullshit science. Like, we're talking, you know, biological science, not fucking phrenology. We're not measuring skulls and hailing Hitler. Yeah,
get that bullshit back to black metal, you fucking nerds.
Yeah, you didn't stay in microbiology. You don't know shit about spores. Don't come to me until you've got a fucking blood agar plate in your lunchbox. So we'll play this one now. It's called Hostile Fruiting Bodies. It comes out on April 5th. Maggot Stomp, snap it up. We'll be right back. It really should be on Maggot Stomp. It's almost a travesty that it's not.
Everything should be on Maggot Stomp, I think.
Except the next one. We've got Spirit Adrift next, so...
Spirit Adrift probably is a bad fit for Maggot Stomp, but...
they're the exception to the rule. So, this one dropped during the week, I think, and...
Yeah.
People were very excited to hear Nate is back on his bullshit. The album's going to be called Divided by Darkness. It's going to be out on $20 spin on May 10th. And the track fucking rules. I wasn't sold to the middle till it hit that harmonized, like, it's like a descending run and there's a little cool guitar passage after it. And I was like, yep, all right, need to hear this as soon as possible.
Just a total, like, ass-ripping solo in there too.
We were saying before on the Lost episode, the Lost podcast, that it was like a total stadium sounding shit. Like Kip was saying, what were we saying? You've booked tickets to see him in a small club?
Yeah, I just bought tickets and they're playing a fairly small venue around here. And it's really cool that I'll get to see him in a small venue, but at the same time, like, this is stadium shit. Like,
yeah.
They should be playing stadiums with, like, you know, thousands of people singing along,
fireworks, and
yeah,
a big stage prop.
They need that fucking Metallica cunning stunts, like big set pieces fucking falling apart and everyone's diving off of the stage while still doing solos, like
ballads with like people with their lighters in the air and just good 80s vibe.
Like they should be opening for Metallica easily, like.
Thank you.
Metallica just got announced here. I know this because I have a bunch of friends who are just like, they're into metal, in inverted commas, but they basically just listen to like Metallica, Rage Against the Machine, maybe Tool, stuff that they were into in like 1996. So
hardcore stuff.
But Slipknot are supporting them. So the ticket prices are like fucking $180 or something insane.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm like, we don't need to see this, guys. They're like, because they know I'm into metal, they're all like messaging me, going, why isn't he interested? Why isn't he saying buy me a ticket? And like, nah, come on, guys. We don't need this.
Maiden is coming through here in September. And they've been like a bucket list band for a while.
Yep.
And I skipped over seeing them last year because like nosebleed seats were $110 each.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm good.
They're not getting any better.
So I checked ticket prices for this run, and they're playing a place with a lawn, and the lawn tickets are like $130. I was like, no, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
it's absurd.
Never mind, I'm just not going to see Iron Maiden live, I guess. I'll watch YouTube videos, it's fine.
You're just paying off fucking Bruce Dickinson's fourth fucking Cessna airplane now. Like,
For that much money, he better land the plane on the fucking lawn and step out and, like, sing fucking Run to the Hills as he's running to the stage. Like,
yeah, it's too much. Like, I tried to explain to him, like, we could have seen Power Trip last year for, like, $30 at a pub. That would have been okay, you know? And they're playing,
that would have been fucking awesome.
They're playing Metallica stuff, you know, equivalent to, you know, you Ride the Lightning sort of stuff, or like Kill 'Em All stuff, with way more energy. And like, you don't need, we've seen Metallica a bunch. Like, it's a bit different for you if you haven't seen Iron Maiden and you want to see them. Like, I saw Metallica 15, 20 years ago, like twice in 3 days, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. They're not gonna get better than that, you know. Like, that's, I don't need to see them again. But
I had a friend at work who said his mom, while she was pregnant with him, went and saw them live, and I was like, well, when the hell was that? And he was like, it was like 89 in Seattle. And I was like,
what,
fuck you, get out of here.
How many
I'm so jealous of your mom.
But now you can just like watch the DVD at home. You're like,
yeah, I'm like, where is she? I know she's out there.
So yeah, that was Spirit Adrift on the stadium tip. Next we've got some Ketzer, so they're back on the thrash tip. They're surprisingly, a lot of people were left feeling a bit confused by Starless, their last album, because before that the band were like pretty fucking, just not run of the mill, they were really good at what they did, but they were straight down the line black thrash, there was no deviation. And then Starless came out and everyone was like, what the fuck are they doing, this band, it's Kexer, like they're a laughing stock. But the track that we've got today is called No Stories Left, and it's back on the thrash, and it's sounding fucking good. There's a lot of people who are tentatively excited to hear the rest of this.
It's just this one song.
Yeah, just this one song. They're just fucking with us. It's a red herring.
Everything else sounds like Death Heaven.
They did release another track from this. It's called When the Wind something, or anyway, it sounded, I listened to it the other day and it sounded more like Obliteration or something. It was fucking pretty cool, actually. It was way more death metal, but we'll see how the rest of the album pans out. It's called Cloud Collider, which is, yeah, that is a very shoegazy name, isn't it? Maybe comes out on April 12th.
Clouds Collide is a band, right?
Yeah, it sounds
like a post rocky type band. I might be pulling that out of my ass, but I know Clouds Collide is a band.
It really should be, because it sounds super, like, I can picture what they look like and everything. This one's out on Metal Blade. So we were saying before, like, I didn't think the last album was on Metal Blade, but honestly I didn't pay that much attention to it, so I will be paying attention to this one.
Shoegaze Blade.
We played Encolta the other week, which is some sick black thrash. This could be some competition for it. It'll probably get more press just because it's on Metal Blade, but anyway, I'm pretty excited for it. This is Ketzer with No Stories Left. ¶¶ So that was Ketzer with No Stories Left from Cloud Collider, and it's out on April 12th through Metal Blade. Next, we've got our Maggot Stomp double shot. First one is Abraded, a track called Entranced in Hallucinosis from Descendants of the Swamp. So that just really...
some death metal shit.
Yeah, that's but like...
if you can't tell what this sounds like from... all of the words you just said.
That's like the 101 of how to get me to click a track is mentioned.
Swamp is right there in the fucking name. Like, yeah.
It's some real stinky swamp death metal.
I think our resident W, Wesley, I had tagged him whenever you had initially posted this. I was like, this is the most Wesley-ass snare I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
It's that real... pingy kind of like slam snare.
He's a clean cut dude, but he loves fucking dirty snare. The dirtier the snare, the better. And, from memory, he was happy with this snare. This passed the Wesley test. So
yep, it did.
That's always a it's always a good sign. The I think it's a three track. No,
I think it's five or six, but yeah, they're all around 2.5 minutes.
They don't fuck
around. Pretty brief.
It's out now. It says... hold on. Maggot Stomp must have just picked this up, because I'm getting two different dates. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's out now. If you go to Maggot Stomp, you'll see all this cool shit. Head over to Maggot Stomp and get your maggots stomped.
Pre-stomped. They'll stomp them for you. Save you the work stomping maggots.
Let's go.
Okay, so that was Abraded with Entranced in Hallucinosis from Descendants of the Swamp. And it's out now on Maggot Stomp. And next, we've got more Maggot Stomp. Kit's favorite label. This one was another one that you sent me. Malignant Altar with the Insect Warfare.
Are they Maggot Stomp?
Yeah.
I don't think they were. I thought that was just self-released.
Yes. Ah. Oh. Well, if they're not, this is another one that Maggot Stomp should pick up. I'm doing scouting.
I'm telling you, Maggot Stomp should just pick up everything. Even Spirit Adrift.
Yeah, I've been.
I would go to that Spirit Adrift Abraded show.
Maybe it's not on Maggot Stomp. I've been out of it this week. Yeah, it doesn't look like it is.
And I thought I was the old one.
Yeah, I'm fucking everything up.
It's those brainworms. You gotta get this checked.
Yeah, I really wanted this to be on Maggot Stomp because I like the idea of doing a Maggot Stomp double shot. But
maybe next week. Who knows? Who knows what Maggot Stomp could give us in the next week and a half?
Yeah, we'll see. There's bound to be something because, yeah, it's literally every week they're putting something out that it's like, oh, we have to play that on the show. That sounds fucking cool.
Next week we'll just do a full and coffinized record. It's short enough. We can do it. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll probably be 10 minutes. We'll just cut out any silence between the tracks and say it was one track. This is a track called Retribution of Jealous Gods from Malignant Altar, and they're from your neck of the woods. They're from Tejas.
Yeah, from Houston.
So it's dudes from Insect Warfare, but it sounds like fucking Morbid Angel, so make of that what you will.
If that doesn't fucking sell you on it, we're not friends. I can't be friends with you.
I saw this, like, posted, and everyone was like, oh, caveman shit, I love caveman shit. And I'm like, hey, that's me, I like caveman shit. And then I clicked it, I'm like, hey, you're doing it a massive disservice.
Yeah, that's underselling it by a lot.
Really, it really is. It's so much more than just cavecore fucking...
It's Morbid Angel immolation shit.
Yeah.
Like...
And they cover a lot of ground. There's only three tracks, but it's like within that 20 minutes, there's all sorts of, you know, groove. There's just straight up blasting. There's just weird death metal stuff. There's not much grind. Like, you know, it doesn't seem like they're carrying too much of the Insect Warfare grind over. It's definitely more. It is like Neolithic and primitive sounding, but yeah, just calling it caveman shit is a disservice because it's really fucking cool. I think it might be Name Your Price. I don't know. Once again, like, you do the homework. We don't do that here. We don't get paid.
It doesn't tell me a price because I already bought it.
Yeah, same. That's always my problem. I've done this a few times where I've had to log out of Bandcamp and then go back to the album to see what it would cost if I was to buy it as a fresh. Because I've got a bad habit of just buying shit immediately. Like
I feel like it's a good habit.
Yeah, but it's like, are they going to run out of digital copies? I don't know. Like,
they might. I don't. In this economy?
Yeah. Yes. They've depleted all their electrons.
I bought the fucking cassette. I've become a goddamn cassette idiot now.
Oh, that's okay, because you still get the digital.
I get the digital, but now it's just another physical thing for me to collect. I've got CDs and LPs, and now I'm adding cassettes on top of that. Anytime a band drops a fucking sick demo, I'm like, I have to get the cassette. I
can't wait for the wax cylinder version of fucking Demolish to come out.
Give me fucking 8-track.
That's okay, I suppose, because it wouldn't be much for delivery either, like from Houston to fucking your neck of the woods. But I remember a few years ago I bought... do you remember Besieged, the Canadian band that sounds like fucking Arise or Sepultura?
Yep.
It was actually cheaper for me to buy their cassette and get it delivered than it was to buy their digital album. And I was like, they must be losing money on this deal. Like, it wasn't like the digital was super dear either. It was just like the cassette was like one single dollar cheaper. I was like, I kind of feel bad, like, making them deliver it to Australia and for this price, but... I still bought it because we have an old truck at work that only has a cassette player, so I just left that fucker in there, and someone got their ears blasted out at 6 a.m. in the morning. Because next time I got in that truck, it was in the glove box. I'm like, where'd my Besieged tape go? Someone had taken it out and fucking put it in the glove, in the glovey, so they weren't too happy with it. But yeah, you can pick up a cassette of this with your, that's a high bias Chrome Pro tape. It's like,
it's like blood red, it looks sick. Recommended.
Blood splatter tape.
Just saying.
That's what you need. Did they ever do, you know, they had CDs with like the blood pack and shit, like I got one of those Slayer blood packs. Did they ever do that with J cards in tapes? Just have like a slime tape.
They should. Yeah. I really wish they'd bring back slime packs.
You just
that's all I want.
They're gonna find out for sure that like in 10 years that shit was like as bad as like Agent Orange. They're like,
oh yeah, isn't that why they scrapped the slime pack for Domination from Morbid Angel?
I'd say so.
Like, oh, this shit will kill you if it like accidentally busts open. So, yeah,
but it glows in the dark, so you can find the carcinogens.
It's worth it.
Yeah, they're gonna find that out. With,
once I die from it, you can find my corpse in the dark room because I'll be glowing. Like, it's fine. That's worth it.
Remember all those kid shows where they'd like dunk a kid in some suspiciously bright green liquid and stuff, or like shoot it all over them? You're like,
and gack.
Yeah, or all those kids have like congenital fucking disease. They've all got kids now, and those kids.
None of those kids made it past 18.
Yeah, and the ones that did just have terrible lives because of that one time they went on Nickelodeon.
They all look like the dude from RoboCop now.
They're just their skin's melting like the like old mate in Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. So this is Malignant Altar with Retribution of Jealous Gods. that was a long one.
Worth it.
what are you guys covering? Oh, that's right. Did I give the plug on the Lost episode for your...
Yeah, it was the last one.
Damn, see, that'd be right. I finally, like, remember to give you guys a plug on your sick horror podcast, and it's fucking gone. Oh, well, folks, can't do that again. Show's over.
Yeah, the end. Like, Looney Tunes, like...
Or just Curb music again. Don't tempt me. What are you guys covering this week on I Hope You Suffer?
So, last week we were supposed to have done Maximum Overdrive, but Nathan and I both got sick. I think we have Katie as a guest, our friend Katie, and yeah, Nathan and I were both sick. He got the flu, I got off easy and just had like a cold, so we pushed that one off. So this week we are doing Dreamcatcher.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
We're doing Stephen King all this past month.
Okay.
So it is a book that Stephen King had written while super fucked up on Oxycontin. And, like, it's hard to follow and has a bunch of weird fucking ideas for a book. And someone was like, I could totally make that into a movie, and did a terrible job.
Yeah, they bit off more than they could chew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole subplot about, it's like a group of old friends, like every other fucking Stephen King book in existence. And they still hang out as, you know, older guys, and they have, like, a little retreat that they'll go to, like, out in the woods. And they all talk about this thing they call their memory warehouse, which is, you know, it's just some dumb bullshit dude term for, you know, oh, this is just shit that I like and remember. But
like their nostalgia.
Yeah, but in the book it becomes this whole thing because one of the guys gets his body taken over by an alien. So mentally he is hiding away in his memory warehouse, trying to, like, dodge the alien within his own mind.
What?
Which, yeah, that sounds fucking crazy, and I'm sure I'm describing it poorly, but...
Is there any, Native American stuff in there? What's the... Is it just Dreamcatcher? That's just the name. It has nothing to do with, like...
There is a Dreamcatcher in it. Okay. Like, they, it doesn't lean heavily into, like, Native American mythology or anything like that. Okay. It's just
a good thing if it was poorly made, because yeah, it'd be pretty easy to fucking be culturally offensive.
Yeah. so they like take that memory warehouse idea, and I mean they try and put it into the movie.
Okay.
And honestly, to me, it's insane that they even would attempt that at all. Mm. You know, and it was a big budget movie too.
Yeah, so like, lots of money squandered. That's always good to hear.
So it's kind of a fascinating failure.
Yep.
But
not on the scale of like Waterworld though, obviously.
No.
a dude at work was talking about Waterworld during the week. He was like telling me all these facts about Kevin Costner's hairline, saying like he's
what?
I don't know. I don't know how accurate it was, but he was trying to tell me they spent like $1 million or something getting CGI to make his hairline different or something. I really want to look it up now because he seemed to know a lot about Waterworld. I'm like,
or at least Kevin Costner's hairline. What?
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. What did I watch yesterday? We watched the Matrix trilogy. On 4K Corner. It's been like a decade since I've seen them. And I forgot how many fucking slow-mos were in those movies. It's wild.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they really...
They, like, started the trend. Like...
Yeah, there's a lot of...
time, it became a whole thing because of The Matrix.
There's a lot of unnecessary slow-mos, and they make it seem very 90s. And the soundtrack, Jesus Christ, it's so fucking 90s. Everything about it.
It's just Dracula throughout the whole film, right?
Pretty much. It's like him. Both of the first two movies end with Rage Against the Machine, which was like I'd completely forgotten.
Calm Like a Bomb.
Yeah, Calm Like a Bomb. And then the other one was... shit, they tried to make it... like it was like a reference in the movie as well. But then they like segue into like Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson or just the cheesiest like dark techno sounding shit, you know. It's...
Hackers, man.
Yeah. I probably won't watch them again for another decade. I still like it. Like, it's, you know... because the nostalgia thing you're talking about, it's like, it's fucking Matrix. And I was disappointed to see kids these days seem to think, like, Inception and something else are, like, Interstellar and all these other movies are, like, rated above it as a sci-fi movie. I'm like, come on, guys. Interstellar sucked. You can't fucking... that wasn't even good.
I like Interstellar, but you could have shaved off, like, 6 hours from the runtime, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, shave off every scene with Matthew McConaughey. this is the anti-Bacon, anti-McConaughey podcast.
I like Kevin Bacon and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. So,
well, that's...
see. Matthew McConaughey is a hometown hero, all right?
So. Oh, really? Is he from Fort Worth, Dallas?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that one area, is that one place, or am I a fucking idiot?
They're two different cities, but they just call the whole area DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, okay. Metroplex.
Yeah, because like both cities are big enough that they overlap now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's always a good thing. Yeah, I wouldn't advise watching the Matrix unless you're in the mood for some real 90s throwback stuff.
I'd like to watch the original one again. Yeah. I don't know if I need to watch Reloaded or Revolutions ever again.
The second one wasn't as bad as I remember. The third one was... like, then I don't know. I'm almost an apologist for them. I don't think they're bad. I think they're good bad. Like, they're good to watch.
I only ever saw Revolutions one time. Yeah. And I watched, I was like, what the fuck was that? And I never watched it again. But I had watched Reloaded, like, probably 4 or 5 times after that. So I was like, this is still pretty cool. Like,
yeah, some of it's like... at least it tries to expand on the story a bit. But yeah, the third one just doesn't have much like Keanu Reeves and whatever in it. It's just heaps of like Jada Pinkett Smith flying this fucking spaceship through like a shitty ass tunnel with electricity coming off it. Like, I don't know, it's not even visually that exciting. So that's 4K corner for this week. what do we need a lifestyle segment?
Oh yeah,
smash eggs on racist senators' heads. That's my
absolutely rule. Please
be like Eggy Boy.
Eggy Boy is a fucking hero.
Yeah, he's pretty popular here at the moment. I can guarantee he's going to be on some talk shows during the week. Like, they're going to get him on, and he'll just be like, "Yeah, I don't know. I just smashed his head with an egg because he's a racist." And they'll be like, "Oh." Trying to get more information out of him, he'll be like, "Yeah, that's pretty much it, guys.
That was it. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Fuck the dude who used his first speech in Parliament to mention the Final Solution and then pretend that he didn't know what the connotation was. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, he's just straight up racist.
Need more eggs?
Yeah,
need more eggs to smash on his head.
The thing is with him, he only got into Parliament on the back of 19 votes. It's like a electoral anomaly that he actually got into Parliament because he was part of a party and he got like a preference, and then now he's left that party and he's starting his own party called like the Conservative Nationals, and just like, they may as well just use a swastika. Like, they're just total scum. But he'll be gone in May, hopefully. The only problem is now he's getting a lot more press, so he's, you know...
yeah,
that's how these things happen. Like, it's okay to say he got in off 19 votes and whatever, but like, he has 15,000 people that follow his stupid racist ass on Facebook, so it's like he's getting his message out there more successfully than people who aren't. And yeah, like, he got an egg on him, but motherfucker's still in Parliament, so, you know.
Yeah. It's a momentary victory, but
yeah, it's like when Richard Spencer got punched. It's like, yeah, he got punched, but that fucking woman got, like, ran over in Charlottesville or wherever that happened, you know? Like, she's still dead.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the fuck happened. Was that Charlottesville? What?
Someone... yeah, that was Charlottesville.
Did she die?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, putting an egg on someone doesn't, yeah, anyway, still good to do. That's something, yes, that this podcast can support unilaterally, is to egg racist fucks.
Back 1,000%.
But make sure you use free range eggs.
I was going to say hard boiled.
Hard boiled, yeah.
Just fucking wing hard boiled eggs.
What you've got to do is leave the egg in the sun for a few days so it's really fucked when it hits the dude. Don't go wasting fresh eggs on motherfuckers.
That's true.
Yeah.
People could be eating the fresh eggs. Smash eggs on them.
The best thing that you can do from your side of the world is probably just continually post the picture of Danny DeVito from It's Always Sunny saying, would you like an egg during your trying time to Fraser Anning on Twitter, because he's still on there.
Can I offer you a nice egg in this trying time?
Yeah, he's got an egg. You might.
I'm absolutely gonna do that.
Yep, he needs it. He needs to be spammed.
Spamming eggs, bitch.
Apparently, the dude when he was in the headlock, like the fucking losers, fascist scum cunts that were there to support Fraser, like put this kid in a headlock. Like, fully choking him out. Yeah, like, for 5 minutes, I watched most of the video saying shit like, we're all Australian here. Are you for Australia or against it? Like, just straight-up nationalist, jingoistic bullshit to this kid. And he's just ignoring him, like, obviously can't talk because his head is in a fucking headlock. But they sort of loosened him up a bit. And when the cops came, he said, apparently he said, oh, here comes the bacon to go with the egg. And so... apparently even the cops had a laugh about it. The only people who weren't laughing were the fucking fascist losers who had him in a headlock. They just have no humor, just complete losers,
dude. Eggy boy is hard. Like,
yeah,
I'm not that tough. Like,
I'm not that quick-witted.
Especially if I've been in a fucking chokehold for 5 minutes.
He probably had 5 minutes to think of what he's going to say. Because, like, all they were saying, they had him in the headlock. They're like, someone get the police. Then they're like, let him go. And they're like, get the police, get the police. They're like, okay, we'll get the police. Like, you realize the senator punched this kid. So, yeah, you know, we should play an egg thing to go out this week.
So, what egg thing is there?
I don't know.
What's an eggy song? I'm only thinking of that dumb goddamn Beatles song.
I was about to say, I'm not fucking playing that. I Am the Walrus.
No.
I might just play a clip of Danny DeVito saying, would you like an egg in this trying time?
I'm going to Google egg song. Let's see what egg songs there are.
There should be a metal egg song.
There absolutely should be.
I just Googled Danny DeVito egg. And there's other videos unrelated to Always Sunny that are like, how Danny DeVito eats an egg on Broadway acting class. Danny DeVito eats an egg. He likes jazz. Egg. Danny DeVito eats an egg in an interview without saying a word. Danny DeVito eats an egg for 1 hour. What the fuck are these videos?
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know. Alright, guys.
We should just go out playing Chicken Hunting by Insane Clown Posse.
Alright, done. Egg.
Boom!
Excellent. See you guys later. We're going to investigate egg Danny DeVito.
Eggvestigate.
Eggvestigate. Alright, that's it.
We're done now, bye.
Are these hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Hi, this is Danny DeVito, and this is how you eat an egg. Still say your lines. On Broadway. Without choking. That's not true.
Well, I'm headed down a southern trail. I'm going chicken hunting, chopping redneck chicken. Chicken nuggets. So who's going chicken hunting?